This is the Create Your Own Life Show, episode 756, Freestyle Friday edition.
It's kind of like dating. Don't give everything on the first date.
Right.
In terms of information, you know, you go in there and you put that facade up almost and you give them a certain part of you, but you don't let them see everything. And so interviewing is very much the same way. They're not going to give you everything in the very beginning. And so your job is to make it an organic conversation and as comfortable as possible. So now that person is going to be more of who they are. And that way you'll see more of what you'll be getting if they were to start working with you.
This is the Create Your Own Life Show, where we interview people that are world-class performers, from Super Bowl champions to New York Times bestsellers to billionaires. We figure out what makes them tick and unpack it for you to do the same. I'm Jeremy Ryan Slate, and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we help you to create your own life. Hey everyone, Jeremy Slate here, and welcome to the Create Your Own Life Show. Today is August 14th, 2020. It is Friday. It is a Freestyle Friday, which means I'm offering you guys something different and special and really exciting. And today it's an interview with one of my really good friends. Her name is Diana George, and she is the founder of By George HR. And she's been one of the big help flows in the growth of our company, Command Your Brand, because she's helped us with putting a lot of the right HR systems in place, a lot of the right processes in place, helping us to set up the right company culture, which has been really exciting as well. So I brought her on because I really wanted to share some of that information with you guys about how to build the right culture in your company, how to bring people with you in that culture growth, and you know what that really looks like. Like, how does a culture change and develop? How can leadership actually come from inside the company rather than just from top down? So it was a really interesting conversation about, you know, really setting up the right culture, the right hiring process, and really having a team that's totally on board. And I was very, very excited to share Diana with you because she has been a huge, huge impact in our life and our business. So I was excited to share this episode with you guys. Before we jump into this interview, I just want to quickly tell you about today's sponsor. This episode is sponsored by Audible. And as always, they're offering all Create Your Own Life listeners a free month of their service and a free audiobook download. I'm just going to recommend that you guys all go grab the Create Your Own Life Classic Guest episode from Wednesday, Dan Carlin's book, The End Is Always Near. Like I said, it was crazy that we happened to talk about, like, what if a global pandemic occurred? How would the world react back in December? And that's one of the things he covers in his book. So you're going to want to check that out. The End Is Always Near by Dan Carlin. You can get that book or any other book for free courtesy of Audible for just heading over to jeremyryanslate.com/book. That is jeremyryanslate.com/book. Also, do not forget to subscribe for free in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever else you listen. And because I have a huge message and a huge idea and purpose to help a lot of people, you guys can actually help me do that by subscribing, rating, and reviewing to this show. And you can grab it by grabbing your phone right now and heading over to Apple Podcasts and leaving us a rating and review. Or if you're having a little trouble doing that, because I know there can be a lot of steps to that, you can head over to ratethispodcast.com/CYOL, and that's really going to help you do that. Today's review comes from M-1029, great interviewer. Jeremy is a great interviewer and uncovers some great ideas from his podcast guests. Highly recommend his podcast. Thank you so much, M-1029. If you want to hear your review read on the air, head over to ratethispodcast.com/CYOL or grab your phone right now and leave us a rating and review. All right, everyone, without further ado, let's get into this Freestyle Friday edition of the show with Diana George. So as always, everyone, I'm bringing you some incredible people that are really making a big impact in the world. And really, I have one of my dearest friends with me today that is a huge influencer in the HR world and doing a lot of incredible things. Diana George, thanks for hanging out with me today on the Create Your Own Life Show.
Oh my gosh, Jeremy, I'm excited to be here. This is such an honor and just pleasure. And I'm glad that we just get a chance to chat.
Absolutely. And I know you've been a huge help flow to us at everything and, you know, Create Your Own Life world and Command Your Brand world. So I'm really excited to kind of get a chance to share, you know, your genius with our audience because you've been a lot of help to us in our growth over the last couple of years.
Absolutely.
And it's funny because before we were getting started here, I said, you know, I don't know if you and I had the same viewpoint on this, but I feel like a lot of companies, right? Like they want the right people on board. They want the right team on board. but they don't really have that focus, right? They're not really thinking about HR. They're not really thinking about human resources and like, you know, having that right kind of stuff there until like kind of the house is on fire and they're like, oh man, where are those buckets of water? So like, I guess, is my perception correct, first off, that a lot of companies don't think about HR early enough? And if so, like, why do you think that is?
Your perception is spot on. It is so accurate itself. And so what I will tell you is a lot of times, and even in my corporate career, HR was the last thing that they focused on. When we had the marketing department, the sales department, everything, HR was the last thing. And I think sometimes the reason for that is because they don't see the initial impact. They don't necessarily see the dollars right then and there. It's an investment in people and time. And because they can't see that right away, the ROI on it, they don't necessarily always believe that we have to put that much focus on it. And it really does become crucial, and it shouldn't be an afterthought. It should be one of the first things that you're doing. It's part of establishment in any organization, having a very solid HR department and way that you operate as it relates to people, because people are going to get you the result that you want. And so if you don't have that there, you're going to be doing a lot of backup, or you're going to run into a lot of problems along the way. And most organizations don't put that or consider that when putting things in place.
Well, I think a lot of people like fail to realize like your biggest asset as a company is your people, right? Like if you don't have, you know, people continuing that purpose forward and, you know, kind of, you know, running all in tandem, like you don't really have a business, right? And that's what business is. It comes down to having the right people.
Absolutely. Employees are your greatest brand ambassador. And so I say that you can have the best organization, you can have the best product, you can have everything be the best, but if you need people to actually sell the product and you don't have good people, then guess what? You're not going to expand, or you're still going to have a lot of problems. And so having companies realize that from the very beginning and investing and have a way of doing it strategically so that you can have the result that you want.
So I guess like looking at it then, because you said like, hey, we should be thinking about this beginning, we should be thinking about this out of the gate. But I think like a lot of companies, like they start small. Like I know I started, it was just like me and my wife, and we kind of figured things out from there. So like, how do you create that kind of thought process and that way of doing it from the beginning when you may start out small?
Sure. That's a great question. And you're right. A lot of businesses start out, and most businesses start out very small to begin with. And if you take a look at some of our, you know, amazing companies out there, and I'll use Nike as an example, because I did read the book, Shoe Dog by Phil Knight.
Oh, that's a great book.
Oh my God, I love it. You know, that's everything for me. That's drama, it's a love story, it's everything all wrapped up into one. But when you listen to him and you read his book, you realize that it started out from him running and having an idea in his head. Mm-hmm. And now look at where they are today. And so most companies start out the same way. It starts out with an individual having an idea they're looking at for a solution. And so the goal is to always expand. What we fail to do a lot of times is wait till we start expanding to start documenting and writing all these things down, because mm-hmm. we want people to go ahead and put our vision in place, yet we haven't articulated what that looks like. And so you're the person that has all that information as a business owner. And so it's best to start documenting it from day one in your journey.
So I guess like in terms of documentation, and I guess the thing I'm trying to see where the uniting point is here, like we have the idea of culture that people talk about a lot and company culture, but then you're talking about documenting. So I guess like those two things, you know, I guess first off, are they different? And if so, you know, how do those two things meet and how do we use them?
Sure. And so you're right. It's documenting and it's both, because you want to start identifying what the company culture is. And so I'll go back to Phil Knight and Shoe Dog again. Mm-hmm. One of the things that you find when you read his book is that all these individuals, they were runners.
Yeah.
So they had that thing in common. They were all runners. They all looked at excellence, and you know, they were all driven. So those are the things that you start to think of when you're putting together your company culture. It's the values, beliefs, the priorities, the language of the company. And so you as a business owner, you know that because you're starting this for a reason. So start putting those things down, because then that identifies what are similar things that will attract other people and what are the things that we want. So, you know, you already know why you're doing this yourself. You want, not that everybody's going to, you know, walk the same and do the same thing all the time, but right. You've got to have a certain mindset of what you want the people to do as they're coming on board. And so you're identifying that right from the very beginning. And so if you start to write that down and identify that, then you can start to say, oh, this is what I know will be successful here working mm-hmm. for us. Whereas, you know, this won't be successful because this is not what we want.
So I guess in terms of that, then, like, you know, when we're coming up with this idea of culture and this idea of, like, you know, what our company stands for and whatnot, like, how do we then, I guess, identify the right people, you know, to be part of that? Because I do love that you mentioned Shoe Dog. I feel like I need to reread it now. He's talking about his coach comes in and they're trying all these experimental shoes and stuff like that. And it is a real thing that runs through the company. Like, they're trying to service runners. They're trying to make this product something they would all need and want. So I guess when we're looking at that and we're looking at growing our team with the right people, like, how do we then, you know, identify those people? And then, you know, in the future, you know, what input do they have in the culture?
So when you align, and for me, it's all about alignment. When you're aligning the right individual with your company culture, it's like a marriage. It really works. Okay, you're in sync. It's all good. And so that's the ideal scene, and that's what you really want to look for. So I'm going to go back. I'm going to give you an example. One of the jobs that I had before starting my own company was with Omega, the watch company. When I first came on board with them, they had just gotten into retail. And so as a watch company, they had been around for years and years, but not as a retailer. And so when they started their retail division, their way of starting the retail division and getting the right people was to get people from other luxury retail companies. So whether it was Louis Vuitton or Gucci or whoever else, that's who they were hiring. So what we realized after I came on board and I was able to assess it is like, okay, we had other people from other luxury companies. Guess what? We had people who came and had other luxury company cultures and not necessarily our own. We had not identified.
We have different like perceptions of like what luxury is.
Well, not only what luxury is, but let me give you a very specific example.
Sure.
Because we had just started out in retail, what we needed was very different than, let's say, a Tiffany. So we just started out. So we needed an individual that had an entrepreneur mindset that could really think on their feet. They thought about getting into their own boutique and making it their own, rolling up their sleeves and doing whatever it took. Okay, now let me compare that to a Tiffany's that has been there for years and years and years and had everything in place. So that successful boutique manager really just needed to follow the map.
Right.
And the floor plan. They weren't expected to create it. Where in our environment, what we realized is we need somebody that can create it and think outside the box. So that became our culture. And so we realized that that's going to be a successful person working for us, not someone that was just able to come in and put in place something that was already put there for them. We needed somebody that had the vision that would create it and put it there. And so we realized that's who we needed. And so it was through trial and error. And it was after that we realized this was who was going to be successful in our company and our part of our culture that we really started hiring the right person to do the job.
So I guess in terms of that, then when you're like sitting down with somebody that is a prospect for your company or is a potential team member or something like that, like, I guess, how do you structure those conversations so that like you can kind of, I guess, within legal bounds and stuff, because that's one of the tougher things in hiring, find out if that person is going to be a fit for the culture and have that right mindset.
Great question.
As an employer, I've always struggled with that. Like, what can I ask people?
Absolutely. And so one of the things that I really try to do, and the best interview for me, number one, is one that's very organic. Because if it's organic, then guess what? You're going to see more of who that person really is. There's a lot of stress that comes into coming into an interview and, you know, people preparing and, you know, a little bit of everything else. And so they're thinking about, okay, what do I need to say? What's the right thing to say? And, you know, a lot of times you have the person asking the questions and they're so rigid. And so you really don't find out who that person is. But if you just make an organic conversation and you really start to, you know, get that person comfortable, you will find out so much about the person. And so more than anything else during that interview process, it's about listening, because I've seen people go into the interview process sharing too much information, either about the company in the very beginning or doing too much talking themselves, where they don't really find out about this individual. And so if you really just, you know, you ask certain questions and you listen. And so I literally have like a set of questions that regardless of what the interview is, I always ask the person. And so one of the questions, and it really gets the defenses down for people and they really start to, you can see them coming to their own, is like, you know, tell me something that you're really proud of. It could be professional or it could be personal, but tell me something that you're really proud of an accomplishment in your life. Man, oh man, you really get to see that person shine, because now that's something that they're really proud of. So they're going to feel comfortable telling you that. They're going to tell you why that's important to them. And so you really start to find out about that person. And so during an interview process, I'm trying to find out, because it's kind of like, I'll give you this, it's kind of like dating. Don't give everything on the first date.
Right.
In terms of information, you know, you go in there and you put that facade up almost, and you give them a certain part of you, but you don't let them see everything. And so mm-hmm. interviewing is very much the same way. They're not going to give you everything in the very beginning. And so your job is to make it an organic conversation and as comfortable as possible. So now that person is going to be more of who they are. And that way you'll see more of what you'll be getting if they were to start working with you.
I love that too, because I know for us, like, that's a question I actually ask in our interviews. One of the questions that we got from you, one of the questions I actually close out our interviews with is like, what are your goals? And people always ask me, they're like, oh, is it personal? Is it professional? I'm like, you tell me, because I really want to just see, like, you know, where do their purposes lie? You know, where does their future lie? And I think it is something that really tells you if somebody's going to align with your brand.
Yes, absolutely. And you know what? And if I find someone that's not necessarily aligned or everything's not there, I mm-hmm. kind of like to see overall where they're going. Because yeah. sometimes you have people come on board and they don't know what to expect either. They don't know where you're going long term. Mm-hmm. And so part of the job of the person interviewing is to create that vision. Mm-hmm. And so interviewing is a lot like being a storyteller if you do it the right way. You're creating a vision for them. You're telling them the story of even how you came on board, why this is important, and where the brand is going and what you're going to be doing. And so if you do it right at the end, people should be salivating. They should be like, oh my God, I have to work for you. I want to work for you. And so I teach people to also tell the story so that it's not just a, you know, interviewing. This is what we're going to talk about this, and I'm going to ask you this. No, at the end, they should leave out of there like, I have to work for this company. It's like, this is amazing. I want to be a part of this.
This episode is sponsored by Command Your Brand. Your source to build your brand, get more business, grow, and create the attention that your brand really deserves by becoming a guest on some of the top, most top-rated podcasts in the world, just like this one. If you want to get out there, get more attention, and grow your brand, then Command Your Brand will help you define exactly who you need to be in front of, help you tell a better story, locate and book you on the right podcasts, and also help you create content that's going to create even more ROI for you years down the road. So if you want to find out more, head over to commandyourbrand.com, drop a line, and figure out how you can start to take command of your brand. Now I have to ask you then, because I haven't gotten that reaction every time. Like, how do we weave in story then? Because you said it before, you know, you don't want to just sit at the beginning and present to them. So how do we weave in story at the same time of, you know, seeing if we're a fit for each other?
Sure. I usually start by telling people why I'm even here and what we're looking at. And let me tell you about the position that we're looking for right now. And let me tell you why we're looking for that position and how it fits into the organization and where we see this position going. And so for, I would say 99% of the people, they don't want to just know that they're going to get this job today. They want to see what the future looks like for them. So creating what the opportunities may be like. So this is where we are today, but this is where I see us going in 5 years. And whoever comes into this position, I see them being a part of that journey. And so when you create it that way and you have people see what that vision is and what it looks like, you know, several years down the line, you get them excited about the possibilities of being a part of something special.
I love that. So we've kind of talked about, you know, like developing the culture, finding people that match with that culture. Now, here's an interesting thing. And I know this is kind of your wheelhouse, is like, cultures, they can change, right? They can change and they can grow. And I guess then looking at it, you know, how do cultures change and grow? And I guess, how do we involve our team in that with at the same time still making sure we maintain that leadership role in it?
You know what, Jeremy, you just touched on something that enough companies don't take a look at, because mm-hmm. there is going to be that growth. And so with the growth, you want to make sure that you maintain what you want your company culture to be. Because if not, as a leader, what can happen is you could look up one day and it's totally different than when you started. And that's when you start to lose people. That's when people start to say, oh, you know, that's not what I signed up for. When I came in, this is where we were going. And now this is something totally different in terms of the culture. So I think it's real important for the leadership to continue to create that vision. You're the visionary. And by continuing to create that vision will start at the top and it will trickle down to the bottom. And so having different things, and whether it's your meetings or, you know, in corporate, it's the national sales meetings that you have. A lot of people think national sales meetings is just a time for everybody to get together and party. And yes, there's some celebrating that goes on at national sales meeting, but it is the time of the year that the vision is articulated through the organization. So when those people leave there, they're on fire, and that vision will be articulated and go down to the bottom. Mm-hmm. And that's so important, of having that there on a regular basis, so that people don't lose sight of where you're going and why you're doing what you're doing.
So I guess, like, looking at that then, right? Like, you know, you may have people that don't fit with the culture. You may have people that aren't really working out. I guess, like, how do we take a look at that, right? Like, how do we take a look if maybe somebody's just having some trouble in their position versus maybe they're not a culture fit? How do we decide that?
And the thing is, when you're taking a look at that, whether or not the person is a cultural fit or they just might be in the wrong position for the company. Mm-hmm. And so I think going back is the values and beliefs of the company and the priorities and the language and how we do things. And you may have a person that has all that. And I'll take a person like that has that any day, because they have the heart and soul of what's it's going to take. And now let me see, where do they fit within the company? Because don't forget, in a company, you have a lot of different positions and a lot of different places that you need to place people. And I've seen this as well, is that people are not in the right position initially. And it's not to, like, okay, we just need to ship them out. They're just not, you know, a part of our company, especially if you identify that they are a part of your cultural fit. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, what's the right position going to be for them in this company? Because it's a lot harder sometimes to find the cultural fit than it is somebody that has the skill set and can do the job. And you have to have both.
I guess then, looking at it then, like, the world has been, like, vastly different in the first half of this year, you know, with everything that's happened business-wise and, you know, economy-wise and everything. So I guess, like, looking at it, how have you seen, you know, like, the way business cultures are developed and kind of maintained as a lot of what we're doing virtually change? Like, how have you seen companies been able to, like, keep that going?
Sure. So the way that you keep it going and you keep it going effectively, I'm going to give you one word. It's one that we don't put enough stock in, and that's communication. Communicate, communicate, communicate. Mm-hmm. Because you don't want to leave something to the employee to kind of try to figure out themselves. Because if you don't give them the information, they'll make up something. And if you have enough of them, they'll make up a whole lot of things. And so it's better if it comes from you versus them making it up themselves. And so a lot of times I've seen leadership make the decisions at the top, but then there's not enough communication that trickles down to everyone so that everybody understands where we are, what's happening. And so, like, even during this time of COVID-19, where a lot of things have changed, you know, a lot of people had to stay home or they work remotely. The companies that I have seen do it the best right now are those that have that open door, that have that constant communication. They're checking in with people, because right now it's a lot. A lot of people are taxed, they're stressed, they're, you know, they're in different situations that they've never been in before. And so I think that as an employer, you can't take it for granted that the employee has it all together, because I'm going to tell you that sometimes they don't. And so sometimes it's your care as the employer, as the manager, as the leader, that's going to help that person get through that. And when you do that, you are building a relationship that person says, oh, no, this place took great care of me during this time frame, and so this is where I need to be.
I think that's a really important distinction, right? Because I know not for everybody, but for some people, maybe some things are going on in their personal life, some things are going on at home. And for those people, like, going to work may have been an escape for that previously. Mm-hmm. And now they're not totally separated from a lot of those situations, and they're still supposed to be working, right?
Right. No, absolutely. And so I think you and I have talked before, and I know that you've been using Zoom for years. I've been using Zoom for years, but now we have so many other people that are now using Zoom that never used it. And if we can use it to our advantage. And so I think right now, for people that are working remotely from home that cannot get out and have that normal socialization that they would with, you know, colleagues, Zoom is the next best way to do that. So I think as an employer, it's up to you to figure out, how do I still get my team together? How do I still have that social interaction that people feel connected during this time, and they don't feel isolated, like they're by themselves handling this all in a square, all by themselves with no help whatsoever?
Well, I guess then, looking at it, like, you've worked with big companies, you've worked with medium-sized companies, small companies, all different types of businesses. And I guess when you looked at it, you know, what do you see in a winning company culture from all the different companies that you've seen? You know, we've covered a lot of different stuff today, but what do you see as a winning company culture?
Well, that brings me to a very good point, Jeremy. So in my book, I have 7 strategies that I actually talk about that really transform a winning company culture. So I'm going to give you a couple of them. And then at the end, I'll give you the link. So if people want to download the chapter, they can definitely do that.
Sure.
So I think number one is listen. I think you learn so much from listening to people and just being able to go into a situation without having already made up your mind about something, but gathering all the necessary information is key and critical. And mm-hmm. when you can do that, you get so much valuable information. You find out what's working. You find out if something's not working. You find out there's employee relation issues. You find out if someone has a problem. You find out so much, but you have to be willing to listen. And when I say listen is also going into that being attentive, because mm-hmm. oftentimes I think I've seen managers and leaders do this where they're very distracted because they have their mind on something else. So even though they're there, that person, they're talking to that person, they're not really listening because they've got 100 other things that's on their mind that they're trying to do. And that's being perceived. So being there comfortably with that person, just listening and putting aside the time. So basically, if mm-hmm. I'm going to say, okay, it's time for us to have a conversation, I need to, you know, put that on my calendar. I shouldn't be trying to answer the phone, type out, you know, something on email, doing all these things the same thing. Give that person your undivided attention. Mm-hmm. You will learn so much during that time frame. I think number two for me is set standards, expectations for employee participation from everybody. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes you go into a company and some people will say, oh, no, well, that's the manager's or that's the leader's part. I'm not a manager. I'm not expected to do that. You know, it's the expectation that you have from everybody that there's going to be total participation. So when you do that, you get creativity. You get people that feel that they're a part of something much bigger than just a job or going in, and they feel valued and acknowledged. I'll give you one more.
Well, I just want to say to that too, before you give me the one more, because like with everyone I've talked to, I've found that the people that are incredible in that position are the ones that can lead themselves first, right? Like they've kind of learned how to, you know, lead themselves in a certain direction. And then because of that, they can lead others, right? I think that's yeah. really important to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Jeremy, you just said something very important. And so there's something that I say, and it's in the book itself. And I say, I like people and believe that everyone has something that they are good at. And if you can pull this out of them, you have a jewel in your company. Mm-hmm. And so everybody has that one thing that they're really good at. And by just pulling it out of people, you have that jewel or you have that leader and that person that's going to move on and advance within your company. Now, I'm going to give you one other tip. Yeah. Number three. You want to create a family environment that employees feel connected to. Mm-hmm. There's nothing better than family. We spend 70% of our time at work. And so if we're not connected to the people that we work with and there's something that's there or there's difficulties with someone, it makes for a very tense situation. It makes for somebody waking up some days and saying, you know what? I really don't want to go to that place today. And so you don't want to have that because it's at that time that people become disengaged. Mm-hmm. And so you don't want disengaged employees. So those are a few things that are there that, you know, certainly when it comes to company culture, if you want a winning company culture, you have those things there. You're on the right track for sure.
Absolutely. And we'll tell people at the end where they can find that. But I want to bring this back around to you a little bit because I know we've covered a ton of stuff today. We kind of just like went right into it. But I guess, you know, looking at it, Diana, like from a lot of the people I've talked to, I find the biggest things from high achievers, from people doing big things is, you know, like changing viewpoints, like they change from experience and from learning and from growth. And what is something you believed at 21 that you don't believe now?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. But what I can tell you at 21, I didn't have the confidence and totally believe that I knew what it is that I knew.
Wow. That makes sense. Knowing you now, yeah. I find that very hard to believe.
Well, you know what?
You are one of the most confident people I know.
But Jeremy, I did not have that confidence back then because there were things that I knew, but I second-guessed myself because I always thought that, okay, well, other people knew better than I did. And so, you know, during the course of my career and understanding more about who I am and learning more about myself, I realized that the things that I know, I do know. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to stand on that. And I have to say also, the only time I've ever had any problems in my career and life is when I went against that. And I thought, well, you know, somebody told me something and they probably know better than I do. And I went and did what somebody else wanted me to do. And then you shoot yourself in the foot because you're like, okay, why didn't I just listen to myself to begin with? And so for me, I will say that was the thing. And it's the confidence, like you said, and just having the understanding, being able to hold my position in space on certain things and know sure. that I have the right answer. And so I'm going to go with this because I'm okay with this answer. You may not be okay with it, but I'm okay with it.
I love that. It blows my mind that you say you weren't confident at 21, just knowing that you're very confident and competent at everything I know you to do. So you've blown my mind today. I guess then looking at it, Diana, like looking at the idea of legacy, right? Like a lot of what we talk about here has to do with legacy and what we're creating, what we're leaving behind. And you know, if you were far in the future and you could like define what that legacy you're going to leave behind looks like, what does that look like?
Wow. And I think about this. I think about this often. What do I want to be known for? And it's one of the things that I work with people on when I do individual coaching, because it's really having them identify what their purpose is. And to me, that goes back to purpose. And so for me, that purpose truly is having the ability to help and assist people to be better individuals and to see in them sometimes things that they didn't see in themselves. Because when you can do that for someone, that's really giving them that added push that they need sometimes to be the best that they can be. And so for me, that's what a coach does anyway. You know, when you work with a coach, you know, whether you're on a sports team or not, they see things and sometimes in you that you don't see yourself and push you. And so that's what I want my legacy to be, that the people that I come in contact with, I always saw the best out of them. I believed in them and I was always going to push them to be the best.
I love that. Well, Diana, we've covered a lot of stuff today. I know you mentioned your book as well. So where can people find out more about you and where can they find out more about your book?
Sure. So you can always go to my website. The name of my company is By George HR Solutions. So it's www.by, that's bygeorgehr.com. And so certainly you can go there. And then right now, I would love to be able to give your audience, like I said, the download of the chapter, Company Culture That Transforms. And so that's a bit.ly link. So it's bit.ly /WOW. And the WOW is all capitalized, W-O-W, and then employees. So that's bit.ly /WOW employees. And so you'll be able to download is 7 strategies for a winning company culture.
Very cool. Diana George, thank you so much for hanging out with me today on the Create Your Own Life show.
Oh, thank you so much, Jeremy.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for hanging out with me and Diana today. I hope you learned a lot about creating a company culture that grows, expands, and includes everyone in your company. And if it doesn't include them, then you can show them the door. You can check out Diana and everything she's doing over at bygeorgehr.com. Be sure to also connect with her on LinkedIn as she's doing a ton over there. And you can get the show notes for this episode and anything mentioned in this episode over at jeremyryanslate.com/756. Also, as you know, I have a huge purpose to help a lot of people, and you can actually help me do that by heading over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify, where else you listen, leave us a rating and review, or heading over to ratethispodcast.com/CYOL. All right, everyone, have an amazing, amazing day. Now get out there and go create your own life.